Before I read the gospel this morning, I want to point out something. In this story from the Gospel of Mark, it's actually two stories of healing. One story is sandwiched in the middle of another. It's a method that Mark uses so that you have to pay attention to both stories, and you cannot look at just one. So as we read these stories, I want you to do a mental compare and contrast. Hear the differences. Man, woman, rich, poor, named, unnamed, an official, a vulnerable, public and secret requests for healing. And then note what is the same. Ritual impurity, unnamed women, compassion, touch, faith, and healing. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. A large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She'd heard about Jesus and came up from behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I never quite know what to do with these two stories today. They're two very dramatic healings. A woman has sought help for 12 years. She's bled. She is ritually unclean, kept out of the synagogue. She has spent all her money on the doctors. She's been shunned by the community and her family. She's not even high enough on the priority list to be given a name. But yet she approaches Jesus, barely touches his garment. Immediately the bleeding stops. She's healed physically, but also she's part of society again. Jesus calls her daughter and tells her that her faith has made her well, to go in peace. A rich leader in the synagogue with the name of Jairus came to Jesus and begged him to heal his 12-year-old daughter. But Jesus has taken time out to heal the woman, and now it's too late. The daughter's dead. But Jesus went to the house anyway, took the little girl's hand, told her to get up. The 12-year-old walked. She ate. She was healed. She was given life. On the surface, simple stories of healing. Such simple stories that we can't help but put ourselves into the story. A desperate woman was healed. I'm desperate too, Jesus. Will I be healed? The official Jairus begged for his daughter to be healed. What about my daughter, or mother, or brother, or friend? Are my prayers important enough? Am I worthy enough to merit God's healing? This past Monday, I attended the funeral of a 22-year-old. The young man died in Argo last week of a drug overdose. 10 years prior, his brother had also died of an overdose. I heard his three sisters and his mom speak about his life. They were incredibly honest, and through their tears, they told the heart-wrenching story of this young man's battle with addiction. Did this family ask Jesus for healing? Did they touch the hem of Jesus' robe? Or did they meet Jesus in the crowd, fall on their knees, and beg Jesus to come see their son? I'm pretty sure they did. I'm pretty sure they did over and over. But what happened? Where was the healing that they desperately cried for? A pastor friend of mine frequently tells the story of his mother who had leukemia. She was in the hospital and she was dying. At one point, her blood pressure bottomed out, and the doctor rushed in and wanted to perform heroic efforts to bring her back to life. The doctors then rushed out of the room to get everything ready. And my friend, who was a teenager at the time, had the audacity to chase the doctor down the hall, shout his name, and stop him in his tracks. My friend demanded that the doctor leave his mother alone. This young man knew that his mom would only experience healing in the arms of Jesus. His mom needed to die to be healed. Pastor Michael Linvall tells the story of a Parkinson's disease patient who had great faith. He and his wife begged that God would heal him from the disease. Reflecting on this before he died, the man said that God did answer his prayers for healing. Although he wasn't healed of Parkinson's, he was healed of his fear of Parkinson's. He struggled every day to live with the disease, but he no longer feared it. Healing for this man was experienced through peace. Healing comes in ways that we might not expect. Sometimes it's a change in our attitude. It might be a fixed relationship, or it might be one that breaks. A path may be opened where we never considered a path to be, or even through someone else. We also may not see healing right away. It's taken me decades to see some of the healing that has graciously been given to me. It's been hidden just beneath my line of sight. It's maybe not what I've been looking for, or perhaps even more likely, I've not been ready to see it. There's another thing that's intertwined in all these stories today, and it's the way that the characters ask for healing. For 12 long years, this woman is physically hurt. In addition to the pain, she's also lived as an outcast. She's poor, she's forgotten, she's marginalized, and she's desperate. She also believes in Jesus so much that she has the audacity to not just ask Jesus to be healed, but to touch him, an act so forbidden at that time, but she touched him. Jairus, an official in the synagogue, even though he's a big and important man, he knew that the authority of Jesus was greater than any earthly authority that he might have. So in front of an entire crowd of people, this big and important man fell on his knees and begged Jesus to heal his daughter. Do we have the audacity to ask for healing? Just like the custodian last week, do we grab God by the lapels, fall on our knees and beg, or ever so gently touch the robe of Jesus? How many times have we thought that God has more important people and problems to deal with than me? How often do we assume that our problem is already done? It's over already, dead already, like Jairus' daughter. That's the beauty of these sandwich stories. Did you notice that Jesus healed this poor woman first, before he healed the rich leader's daughter? A statement that no person or problem is too small. Did you notice that Jesus broke down the barriers between clean and unclean, rich and poor, male and female? Jesus doesn't follow our rules. Did you notice that Jesus took the time to find this woman in the crowd? And then he went to the ruler's house. Jesus wants to be in a relationship with us, even and especially when we are broken. Finally, did you notice that even when the crowd thought the problem was insurmountable, when others laughed at the absurdity of it all, that's exactly when Jesus showed up at Jairus' house. Jesus does this for us too. Our dear family friends lost their 34-year-old daughter to suicide. She was a very successful physician who tragically ended her life. Even though their daughter was dead, the story is not over. The family had the audacity to demand healing. They expected healing, and if you know this family, they expected healing. Not healing to bring their daughter back to life. Instead, they sought healing for others. This family educated themselves about suicide. They worked tirelessly to collaborate with national, governmental, private, and local agencies to recognize the tragedy of suicide. Healing came for them through the healing of others. The young man's funeral this week ended in a plea from both his family and the pastor. This young man is dead. His brother is dead. Neither experienced healing on this side of the grave. But this family still demands healing. They spoke to all at the funeral. Those caught up in the cycle of addiction, and those who love someone who is. They prayed that God will work through all, through rehab facilities, police officers, family members, those we least expect, and us. God didn't miss the opportunity to find that one person who was sitting in the congregation on Monday. That one person who perhaps silently touched the robe of Jesus, who perhaps opened the tiniest of cracks in their heart for God to step in and grant healing. Healing doesn't always come as we think it should. But go ahead. Have the audacity to ask God for healing. Ask and be astounded by the compassion, the touch, the healing that Jesus can bring. Let Jesus reach out his hand to us and say, little one, get on up. And eat and be healed.